Revelation. General revelation is God's act of making himself known through his creation. A part of general revelation is the sensus divinatus, a sense of the divine. God has given every person an undeniable awareness of his existence. There are no true atheists, only rebels in denial of what every person knows to be true. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, I'm so hungry. This is Wretched Radio. I'm sorry if you hear my stomach just growling in the background. I don't mean for that to be disruptive, just super, super duper hungry. You're going to jump in anytime?
I'm just wondering.
You're gonna
there's a time difference here, so what are you hungry for?
That felt like a three-hour delay.
Yeah.
I'm hungry for Italian dinner with Phil and Darlene Johnson. That's all. I wasn't sharing my hunger pains just so that I could brag I'm having dinner with Phil Johnson. I would never do such a thing. Aren't you glad Phil Johnson is alive and well? I sure am. I'm so glad that he's still running Grace to you. I'm so glad that he's Hey, I get to be with Phil Johnson, not just tonight for dinner at a mysterious Italian restaurant somewhere, I think in Santa Clarita, which is by Masters University, which, by the way, if you or your child is considering university, don't write off all universities. Write off most of them, but not the Masters University. Masters.edu. Check out all. It's 150 different. Your kid's going to find something to study that will be better than like French women's poetry of the 1780s. They will be degrees that actually help them contribute to human flourishing when they get their degree. And along the way, the authority of the Bible will be used in every classroom, every dorm room, and in every chapel service. Masters.edu. Dinner with Phil. And then I get to be with him September the 5th and 6th, right?
Yes, that's the Cornerstone Conference.
Cornerstone Conference. Yeah. Phil's going to be there. That's his first appearance in, 2 years? So glad. I'm just glad he's alive. I'm just grateful that medicine was used by God to prolong his life. Because ain't none of us going to live forever, but I sure am glad that he's going to live a while longer. If you'd like to go to the conference in Florida, along with Ken Ham, who I expect to see tomorrow at the John MacArthur Memorial, I think there's going to be a lot of dear friends there of Grace to You and Shepherd's Conference. It should be kind of bittersweet is what it'll be. If you'd like to go to see Phil and Ken and H.B. Charles and Virgil Walker and Daryl Harrison and Tom Askell, and I get to be at the Cornerstone Conference, would you please hurry? I don't have much breath here.
I'm looking.
WJLB.
I think that's it.
Radio. You can register there. It's not a super expensive conference. They cost something, but it's pretty clear they're not looking to build a mansion with the ticket prices.
You were close. WJLU.
Why do I struggle with the call letters of that station? Why? WJLU.com. Mm-hmm. And you can learn more about the Cornerstone Conference.
.org.
You could have said that.
I did.
And spared me the pain.
I'm so sorry.
WJLU.net. To see if you're still paying attention. WJLU.org. Would love to see you September 5th and 6th. In the meantime, send stuff to idea@wretched.org and text away to 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, how can I recognize when I'm giving into anxiety, when I'm being anxious?
There's a fine line between being aware of something that could be difficult, challenging, or even dangerous. Those types of responses, they should not be relegated to oblivion because they could be anxious thoughts. Those are normal reactions. Our Savior, knowing what was coming his way, he felt it. sweating drops of blood. Now, there was a lot going on there. The invisible punishment of God, it was already being poured out on his son in a way that we could not see. Now, he was being abandoned by those that he loved and had discipled for 3 years. He was marching to a cross, and he was troubled without sinning. In other words, he knew something big and bad was coming, and it is entirely right and human to respond. Fear is not necessarily as every emotion can be sinful or not. You fear somebody walking down an alley with an Uzi and a face mask. It's okay to be afraid. It's okay to run in that situation. So let's not say that you shouldn't have any feelings when there are difficult things going on. But when do they cross the line into sinful? I call it faithless worrying. I call it nail-biting worry. It's one thing, it's like, okay, I don't have enough money for the car payment. Oh boy, that's not good. They could repossess the car. This has a lot of implications. I've got to get to work. And if I can't get to work and get a paycheck, well, then guess what? I'm going to struggle even more financially. I got to get this thing sorted here because this is a problem. That's one response. Here's faithless worrying. If they take my car, I'm going to die. I'll never have children, and I'm never going to be able to do anything on my bucket list because this is a disaster. I'm not going to eat for weeks. I can just tell I'm going to lose my job. Woe is me. That's faithless worrying. God is nowhere in the picture. God isn't consulted. You have no peace, even when it is right to be aware of a difficulty, because you're probably relying on self. You're probably relying on abilities, taking matters into your own hands and not trusting God for it. Hence, faithless worrying. So you need to do your best to discern which one you have. You can worry. It's okay. Just don't do it without faith. Don't do it hopelessly. Don't do it thinking that this is that God hates you. God is angry with you. God's never angry with his children. He's angry at wicked sinners, but he's not angry at his children. So you can be aware, you can respond rightly, you can prepare, you can defend, you can do all of those things with faith, knowing God loves you and God only does things for his children and not to his children. If you'd like some anxiety relievers, John 14 through 16, by my count, has at least 10 of them. Jesus at the beginning says, don't let your heart be troubled. At the end of chapter 16, he says, don't let your heart be troubled, basically. All of that information that is included then in that three-chapter treatise delivered to the disciples while he's in the upper room the night he's being betrayed and walking to the Garden of Gethsemane are comfort words. Read those. Understand those. And Jimmy, sorry for sneaking in this plug. Is that book available? We got the sale going on. Uh-huh. Stressed Out. That's the name of the book I wrote. Stressed Out. It has 10 anxiety relievers from John 14 through 16. We're having a mega sale. We're getting rid of everything because everything is now free at fortisplus.org, but we're just getting rid of hard copy stuff so that we can do other stuff in our warehouse, probably build another set, I suppose. But nevertheless, Jimmy, is Stressed Out still available?
I don't think so, no. It is gone.
Don't get that book. Just don't. Just read John 14 through 16. It's better. And what is for sale? Do we have anything left?
We've got some stuff.
All right. Give me just an idea of what we have that's Fortis Institute stuff.
So Transformed, all of the Transformed seasons.
Oh, that's just good viewing. And that's such helpful stuff. Yeah, and you can get the Bible studies, by the way, at fortisplus.org. They're free there. All right, what else we got?
Road trips.
Okay.
Good stuff.
A Road Trip is still an awesome, there are networks that still carry both of those programs. Road Trip is being aired right now around the world, and it's good for youth group stuff. All right, anything else?
Seasons of Seasons of Sorrow.
Tim Challey's
stuff.
Excellent book.
Biblical counseling books. Yep.
There's not much.
No.
There's not much, which is way cool. Because right now, the Fortis Plus, it really is all free. This is just emptying the warehouse. And thank you for responding to this sale. We hope that it's a blessing. And when we hope to just continue making more and more and more stuff because we can't seem to help it. Somebody put the brakes on us. I was talking to somebody about our just everything that we're doing at the ministry and sharing the different things. And his response was, I'm sorry, you do all of that? And the answer is yes, we do. We, big fat plural, we do all of that. TV, radio, podcasts, books, Bible studies. There's just a ton going on and it's all free courtesy of our gospel partners. So if you're a gospel partner and I haven't said thank you lately, thank you very much. I hope that you have just a share of the joy that I have, knowing that we're giving all of these things away to churches and Christians around the globe. You're a part of that. So if you're one of our faithful gospel partners, we just thank you for letting us have the joy of giving stuff away. Thank you for the joy of getting to talk about Jesus Christ pretty much all day, every day. It's a huge blessing. So thank you for blessing us. And if you'd be so kind, please send things to idea@wretched.org or call 877. I'm kidding ya.
I want to tell you what's...
I'm kidding ya.
Real quick, we've got all of the gossip. Don't Stub Your Toe, Rotten Fish.
Oh, the booklet.
13 Reasons. And we have some Judge Knots.
Jimmy.
Yes.
Don't you know how to manage the clock? I mean, really, man.
I'm sorry.
This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's frustrating? Reading about the Holy Spirit and still not really understanding how He works in your life. I mean, you want to understand, right? But it just feels so unclear. Well, here's something that's going to help. Fortis Institute Fellow Dr. John Crott's going to be coming to the Wretched Studios on Saturday, August 30th. He's going to be doing 6 sessions on the Holy Spirit. Like, how do you know when the Spirit is leading you? Or how does the Spirit help you deal with sin? What does it mean to be adopted by God? Look, if you've ever wondered about this stuff, this is your chance to finally get clear answers from someone who really knows the Bible. Coming up Saturday, August 30th, 8:30 in the morning is what time it's going to get underway and start. You can be here, you can be a part of it, absolutely free, but space is limited. So go to fortisinstitute.org/Holy Spirit right now, as quick as possible, and get signed up because the limited spaces will fill up fast. fortisinstitute.org/Holy Spirit. Trust me, you'll be glad that you went. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity, people who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where faithful gospel partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry. You're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Okay, I'm going to admit it up front. I'm about to use every cheesy sales phrase in the book because, well, this time, they're actually true. The Fortis store is closing permanently, and we literally mean everything must go because after this month, there won't be a store. Presently, you're going to notice that we've slashed prices up to 75% off all physical inventory. That's books and booklets and DVDs and CDs. You know, the old-fashioned things you can actually hold without charging your battery. And at these prices, you're going to wonder if we've lost our minds. Spoiler alert, we haven't. We found our mission. Thanks to our incredible gospel partners, we're going to be making all of our digital resources completely free on Fortis Plus. Free, as in $0. But first, help us empty our shelves. You've got through the end of this month to take advantage of all of our physical inventory. After that, these resources are going to become collector's items. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now. Trust me, your future self is going to be grateful you didn't miss out on this wonderfully ridiculous clearance event, going out of business sale or something. FortisInstitute.org.
Names of God. Is Jesus God?
One name given to God in Scripture is El Gibor, the Mighty God. One occurrence of this name stands out. In Isaiah chapter 9, El Gibor is the name given to the promised Messiah. Jesus is that promised Messiah. He is God incarnate.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Three words that will improve your parenting. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, do you recall earlier this week, last week, well, sometime in the not so far past, we talked about helicopter and lawnmower parents that block for their kids, get in the way to make sure the kids never stub their toe, never break a sweat, and need to make sure everything is easy for the kids. And now it turns out these kids don't know how to get a job. They don't know how to interview. They don't know how to ask for a raise. They don't know how to make their own lunches. What are we doing? We're helicoptering. We're lawnmowering for our kids, doing everything for them. And that's why I think we need to lose three words. Here they are. Stop saying these words as a parent, because I know you like to say them. And I know that these words come from the heart. You actually mean them. Sometimes it might be said in frustration. Other times it might just be because, well, you're just nice. But here's the three words I think, as a rule, will help you to not be a helicopter / lawnmower parent. You ready? I'll do that. Stop saying that. Let your kids do it. They're making a mess. Don't say, I'll do that. Let them do it, and let them do it without making a mess, or let them clean up their own mess. That propensity that we have to do everything for our kids isn't good for them. Don't become a curmudgeon, but we need to stop doing everything for them. We got to prepare them for adulthood. We're not raising kids. We're raising adults. And we're crippling them. Karen sent an email to idea@wretched.org. She had, I thought, some pretty helpful tips. This doesn't cover all aspects of parenting, but maybe it sets us all on the trajectory of stop saying, I'll do that. No, look, just put it down. I'll do that. No, just stop. I'll do that. We need to stop saying that. This is from Karen. If they can play a video game, they can work the knobs and buttons on the washing machine. So have them do the laundry. Stop saying, I'll do that. Their kids started doing their own laundry at around the age of 10. By fourth grade, they packed their own lunches for school. And here, I get it. Well, they're not going to make the right thing. Or they're going to make a mess. All right, well, have them clean it up. Have them learn how to do it better. That's parenting. It's and stop making their peanut butter and jelly sandwich for them. Well, they won't pick nutritional things. Okay, so they might not that day. Let them get a stomach ache. Let them just bring two bags of Fritos and see how long that takes them through the day. And then maybe they'll just get better at it. We need to stop saying, I'll do that. Our children, writes Karen, did not get paid for chores. We told them, you're in a family. We all contribute. We took our children to strong Bible studies each week. They learned words like propitiation, repentance, and sanctification, and were able to explain what they meant. In other words, they were raising adults. Jimmy, did I tell you? I think I maybe did. The family that I met in Texas, their kids, oh, they're different, these kids that grow up on farms. They're more adult-like. Is what they are. The ages of the kids that I'm there, like 18, 14, 10, you know, teenagers in that neighborhood. But you wouldn't know it because you didn't think, I wasn't talking to kids. I'm talking to, now the 10-year-old isn't as mature as the 18-year-old. That's pretty obvious. But that doesn't mean that the kid acted like he was 2 or was immature or silly. Because hard work is good for us. We're made for work. So mom and dad, courtesy of Karen, maybe three words you want to drop from your lexicon as a parent. I'll do that. And then what you can do is send wretched things to idea@wretched.org or text 877-282-2337.
Got another gift for you.
Wow, this is like Christmas for me.
It is. So we talked about the clothes in church. We talked about church polity. And now another one of your favorite subjects.
Expository preaching.
That's exactly right.
Is it?
It's from Josiah. Todd, for structuring lessons and sermons, how does Todd and Jimmy do it?
Oh.
As someone looking to start teaching soon, I'm interested in learning how to teach others.
Gotta tell you, I would love to share that. That's like, oh, you're just scratching an itch for me. I love talking about that. I'm just not so sure everybody wants to hear it. I've debated it, Jimmy. Now, I'll tell you, you know what? Here's the deal. I just gave you the book from Mike Fabares.
You did?
Preaching That Changes Lives.
Mm-hmm.
Read it. When you're done, then we'll maybe chat about it to a degree, because it's a bit of inside baseball, but I think it'll also help you become a sharper listener and to have an expectation of what a sermon should be and what it shouldn't be. Furthermore, at the end of the book, and this is something that we'll talk about one of these days. It's still on my nightstand. I think I've got like 20 pages to go in the book. It's about being a better listener, but it's more than that. It's about being a better church attender, not necessarily just the regularity, although that's a part of it, but being an active, engaged church attender. And we'll talk about it. But Mike talks about, you should have expectations for church. You should come expecting that the word is going to be opened up. God will speak to you through the mouth of a sinful man by applying his word to your life, and you'll be changed. You should come with that. We have a tendency, we all do. It's just, we all kind of fall into these, you know, you go and it's like, well, I hope it's a good one today. And then sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But if you go with expectations, God is going to move in this place because his word is being proclaimed. God's name is going to be exalted in this place. God makes promises to me that he always keeps. I wonder what they are this week. Hey, I know what I'll do. I'll go check that email that tells us what the sermon subject is this week and what the Bible text is so I can read it in advance. And you're going to get more out of church. We'll share that chapter, and then maybe we'll talk a little bit about how sermons are prepared. I'm interested in that subject a lot. I'm also interested, if I ever run into an author, tell me, how do you write a book? I find it fascinating. Now, I find it fascinating. Jimmy finds it fascinating. I'm just not sure the tens and tens of people listening will. It would be potentially like listening to somebody talking about, you know, well, this is how I put in a new transmission. But when Jimmy reads the book, perhaps we will open that up, because I'm telling you, our pendulum is swung too far in expository preaching. Hold on a second. I've got an article here about 10 things I... Here it is. Ah, got it right here. 10 reasons why I love verse-by-verse exposition. I've been saving this because it's like, I want to talk about this stuff because I find it so interesting. But I'll tell you what, vote. Express yourself with or without Madonna. Idea at wretched.org or text 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Justin. Todd, can you clarify the word evangelical versus general Christian?
Sure. There's some distinctives that evangelicals have had. Now, we're the gospel proclaimers. We share the evangelion. We are ones that believe that people need to hear the gospel, so we go and we evangelize. We are those who believe that church and the Christian life isn't something that is a tack on to life, but it invades the totality of one's life, changes the trajectory of everything that we think, say, and do, and helps us to understand reality better. So evangelicals, I think the hallmark of what makes us an evangelical are those that try to convert people. We also have a high view of the Bible. We love Bible preaching. I was thinking about different religions, and I'm trying to think of one religion. Now, there are other Christians besides evangelicals that perhaps share their faith, but I'm not sure there's anybody that's as tenacious about it as we are. But I was trying to think of what other religion, like Hindus, you never see them out in the streets trying to convert. You see Jehovah's Witnesses, but I don't think they're out there to convert anybody. Mormons, maybe, But their motive for trying to make somebody a Mormon is different than an evangelical's. A Mormon's desire is to be obedient in an effort to do what? Earn their way to Celestial City, which they can't actually get to these days because my understanding is it's full. Or is that Jehovah's Witness? Yeah, Jehovah's Witness, their higher kingdom is kind of closed down for them. Never. And so Mormons aren't doing it because they simply love the Lord and they want other people to know his love. That's the evangelical heart. Jehovah's Witnesses, they're out there to earn their way to heaven. They don't care if anybody stops and takes any of their watchtowers because they're not out there to see people saved. They're only bringing them into a work righteous system anyway. Evangelicals are the good news proclaimers. We are the Bible teachers. We are the evangelizers. And most of the time, most of us, I think, are the baptizers. You need to get baptized. You need to get dunked. If you're a believer, you're born again. Your first commandment is to get into a jacuzzi and get dunked in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So let me be an evangelical for a moment, which I actually always am. If you're born again and you haven't been baptized, get on it. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.